is fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I want to say up front that if you don't understand how to do battle with Satan, it will affect your fellowship with the Holy Spirit. If you don't know how to do battle with Satan, it will affect, hinder your fellowship with what? With the Holy Spirit. Because you can't be serving Jesus and serving the purpose of Satan at the same time. So it is important that you know all of this. It was after when Jesus was led of the Holy Spirit to be tempted of the devil. I've always wondered why the Holy Spirit should lead him there. It was to prove his love for God and to teach us the path to follow. Because the same temptations came to Israel in the wilderness, and they failed woefully because they were flesh. And the Spirit, Jesus went with the power of the Holy Spirit, faced the same temptations in the same wilderness. 40 years these people were there, his own was just 40 days. The same temptation. And they fell, because the scripture says, in the wilderness they tempted me. And in the wilderness, Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord, what? A God. The same temptations came to them. Food, they murmured about food. They said to Jesus, you are hungry. Make this stone to be what? Food. He said, no. Watch it. The same thing. Just to, for us to see the difference between the new covenant and what? The old covenant. The limitation of flesh and the limitless power available to the Christian. And the Bible says all things are possible to a believer if he believes God. These people are walking in the flesh. They are flesh. They have baptism of the Holy Spirit. Nothing. And so dealing with the devil is very important to you because he's a wicked spirit, very diabolical, and a killer. But it's to be regretted that many believers have no idea how to deal with Satan. They think it's all this yelling of fire, 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 and limited, if it has any result, limited. Because what we're dealing with is a very, very crafty, deceitful spirit. It's an expecting deceit. And the Bible says we're dealing with the wiles of the devil, the deceit of Satan. Unfortunately, many people think it's a ritualistic thing. Like we're doing babalawo or something. The devil loves stuff like that so much because he's behind all this babalawo stuff. He drags into it, you have fellowship with him. So it's unfortunate that a lot of people, they don't understand how to deal with the wiles of the devil, and the Bible teaches it. And sometimes because of that ignorance, they walk smack into his hand, being motivated by him, and they don't even know it. I have no idea that that's the devil talking. You think the devil doesn't talk to Christians? You haven't been reading the Bible well. Who was talking through Peter? Did you think Peter knew that he was being motivated by Satan? You would never have known that. Until Jesus said, get thee behind me, what? Many Christians won't even discern it. I was saying on Thursday, I said, why come we don't even have simple perception of a spirit that's alive? Simple discerning to understand where I am, what's happening here. Even to know this thing I'm saying is not of God. I should stop. Simple discernment. Once we start, we open like pump. Pra, 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 no break. So, we need to understand where I'm going to this morning is to talk about the soul. To talk about what? And let me tell you, you're better listen. You really better listen. If you see what's going on around you, you see a lot of unexplained things happening all over the place. The devil is on the prowl. You better listen. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God that your whole what? Spirit. Number one is what? Spirit. And number two is what? Soul. And number three is what? bodily be preserved, how? Blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit is showing us that we have three components of us. The first one is your what? Spirit. The second one is what? Which is your heart. So in this presentation, we are going to make... Okay, good. I like that. Technozo. Awesome. So, in this presentation, we are going to focus on the soul, which you, interchangeably we use the word heart, soul, mind. It's talking about the same thing. So, our spirit is saved when we came to Christ. He that is born of spirit is what? Spirit. So, we are born of God. We are born of spirit. Our spirit is saved. Our spirit has the nature of God. And the spirit of God lives in our spirit. So our spirit is fine. And our body, the scripture tells us what to do with our body. Do you know it's your responsibility to do something with your body? It says to us to present our bodies a what? Who presents it? You do it. I do that. And then Paul told us that he disciplines his body. He doesn't let his body control him. So that I discipline it and put it under what? Subjection. Because the body is sinful, has its own desires and stuff. And that's why I was saying some Sundays time ago that one of the reasons we lose spiritual battles is because we lack discipline. You want to see whether we lack discipline? See how we treat the things of God. Check yourselves. We drag ourselves to church like we are going to a Christmas party. Don't even know that the presence of God is there. We don't even prepare. And the Holy Spirit told us how to come to God. Say, prepare to meet what? Yeah, God. We don't prepare. We don't get it. Sunday morning is when we start looking for our shoes, looking for this. It's lack of discipline. And then lack of understanding of how to honor God. It affects us. All of that affects us. Put it all together. I'm not kidding you. It affects us. Lack of discipline to sit up and study your Bible. You know, the reason we don't study the Bible most of the time is laziness. Lack of discipline to get up, get into your car, and say, I'm going to Bible studies. There is nothing spiritual. Your body won't fight you not to go. Check it now. Anytime you want to study the Bible, you see struggle. Anytime you want to go for anything that will benefit you spiritually, your body will resist it. It won't be easy. I remember our sister Charity was telling us yesterday, he said, Wednesday prayer, I said, it was good I was there. He said, because I needed to hear those things that you were saying, Pastor. He said, it was difficult for me to come. I laughed. Because that's a demonic attack. He said, don't go. But he didn't know that was going to be an encounter for her. He said it was good attack. He didn't think the devil would let you go and get the promises of God, get blessings like that. It's part of it. That's what I'm saying. If you don't know how to fight him, you think he's all this all night, you are yelling and yelling. After yelling him, you continue in your indiscipline, continue in your lack of control, continue in all of this. Think you won? So we need to present our bodies, discipline ourselves, discipline our bodies, control it, because the Bible says that if we don't have control over ourselves, they were like a city without what? A wall. Everything can crawl in there. I mean, Christians, let's talk real. Let's really talk real. You think there's a lot of discipline in the body of Christ? Control your tongue. We're people who are mostly emotionally propelled. Not spirit-led, not spirit-propelled. And so it comes to our soul. Tells us that we need our soul to be preserved. But that's what the devil wants. He wants to take control of your mind. He wants to take control of it. He wants to take control of it. And that's what he did to Peter. Look at John 13, 2. John 13, 2. And supper being ended, what happened after supper? The devil having now put into the heart of what? Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to do what? Betray him. You see where the betraying of Jesus started? It was something the devil planted into his heart. And pretty soon you are going to see that the devil controls people's activity if he takes control of their heart. And after suggesting that, and Judas bought the idea, look at verse 27 and see the next thing that happened. Verse 27. Let's read it together. And after sup, what happened? Satan now, what was the first thing he did? Suggest. The man bought it. What was the second one? He got it. And Jesus said, what you want to do, do what? You can't stop. You got to a point of no return. The guy is taking over. You are under his influence. And so all that thing that Jesus was telling them, the person that will betray me is here, is the person I sup and give, and he supped and gave to him, he wasn't getting here at all. He wasn't hearing it anymore. Something took possession of his ears, his everything. You know, it happens in church. People sit in church, you are preaching. It's like water being poured on water. They have made up their mind. You are talking, they say, is it that thing, Pastor? I say, let us finish this service. I know what I want. In fact, Pastor doesn't even have an idea what I'm passing through. Oh, really? They got you. I'm not joking. They got you. Like, you're like Judas. He's got you. He's pumped things into your heart. And your ears have been what? Blocked. And the white man says, whom the gods want to kill, they first block their ears. I'm telling you, it's not all this always, oh, shouting in the night, all night, blah, blah, blah. And after that, you don't even understand his schemes. He waits for you to finish all that. And so the matching instruction we're giving is neither give place to the devil. Can we say it together? I want to go. I want us to think. Is that okay? I want us to think, brethren. Let's think a little bit. Think of the many things. Think of the many things you did which you regretted after. And realized it wasn't God. If it wasn't God, who was that? Let's think. Think of the many things you said that after you regretted them. But when you were saying them, it was okay. But after, when you came back to your mind, when you came back to your senses, you say, oh my God, did I say those things? And think of the many destructions it caused for you. Not to convince you that the devil motivates Christians to do stuff. Think of the many things you did that you say, if I'm given the opportunity, I will not do it that way again. But it was okay in your eyes at the time. Think of the many things you lost, opportunities you lost, jobs even lost, because of the things you said. But now you come back to your mind. What happened to you then that you didn't have your mind together? Don't you realize something was controlling you? Some of them, you cried, wept. You had very bad days about one singular action. Some of them, it took you months to even get yourself together about one singular thing. If it wasn't God, my question to you is, who was that? And there are still things we do. The things we do, and we don't want anybody to tell us anything. Years down the line, we still regret them again. You know, see, this man, I've been singing this hymn for burial, and every single time I start singing it, somebody I know dies somewhere. Once I start singing, I don't start it, but I just hear it in my heart. You know, I just hear it, and all of a sudden I'm hearing it, and it continues. Somebody I know has passed away. Brethren, let me tell us, life is not too long. Life is not too long. How long does it take to be 88 and 90? That we can afford to waste one day. Just letting the devil kick us around. And we keep regretting things, regretting this, regretting that, and wishing I didn't do it. When will it stop? When will it stop? You know, yesterday the Lord told me, he said, I told Moses to build the temple, and I gave him instruction. He said, if Moses didn't build it that way, do you think the temple would be the way I want? I said, no. He said, I tell you people how your life should be built, and you people are not listening to me. So in 2 Corinthians 10:4, he's telling us the strongholds of Satan. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Number 5, let's read 5 together. Casting down what? Imaginations, not one. Imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing that thing into captivity. Every thought to the obedience of who? Christ. That's the instruction given to me and to you. That somebody wants to invade our mind, invade our soul, and plant thoughts, implant imaginations that are contrary to the word of God, that are not in line with the character of Jesus, that we should not keep quiet. We should take it captive. We should fight it. Now, why is it so important? Proverbs 4:23. New Living Translation. Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart above what? Everything. Above everything. This is the Holy Spirit talking to me and telling me how to live my life. Guard your heart. What? Before we moved in here, I said to them, every door must be secured. And we must have cameras everywhere. And I don't care how much it costs, because you can't put costly stuff in the house without securing it. So they went to work. God is secured. And in this compound, if you dare move anywhere, we're seeing you. Because that's common sense. You can't put all these costly equipment here, and if you know how much thousands we spent here, you can't put it here and to put up this thing they're doing there, and the one there, 21,000, already collected 10,000. They only did this. By next Sunday, you see this right there. You can't be spending all this money here and you will secure it. You will secure it. What will you tell the members of this church? Why they lost their property? What will you tell them at the meeting, that you lost your property because we didn't secure the doors? Everybody will say, but that's the first thing you should have done. God says, secure your heart. Why? He says, let's continue. It determines the course of what? Your life. It says secure it. That's what determines where your life is headed. It determines all the experience you will have. Man, if I know what I'm doing, I'll be serious about that. Because it's about my life. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. And so, if the enemy takes control of your heart, he controls what you say. And if he controls what you say, he will make you say things that will hurt you. Let me repeat that. If he controls your heart, he will control what you say. And if he controls what you say, he will make you place a curse on your life. He will make you do that. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 12, 34. You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you do what? Speak what is good and right. So how can? Why? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Do you know that by words, people have ruined their marriages? Wreck their marriages. They have no idea that the devil was using them. Cast their children out. We are listening 2 months ago to a presentation that a girl that married and couldn't have a child. So they were going to hospital praying. And a Christian doctor called the doctor and said, We've tested this girl. There's nothing wrong with her. We don't find any reason medically she should not be pregnant. And the pastor called the girl and the husband and said, is there anything I should know that I don't know? Immediately the girl bowed down. He said, Pastor, when I was young, my mother caught me doing something evil and told me that because of that, I would never have a child. And the thing latched onto my spirit. See how the mother, with tongue, placed her own daughter in a situation I'm sure she didn't even want. She didn't want. But she was ignorant. And the devil spoke through her mouth, cursed out the daughter. And now she's married, it's working. And the pastor said, well, we have power to change that now. Praise the Lord. So we have power to change all of that now. So every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, thou shalt what? Condemn. He said, we'll condemn it to cancel it in Jesus' name. It's no effect. It's of Satan. And the pastor stood up and said, you are fruitful. This is what the word of God for you. And pronounced it. And the girl started having children and had more than she wanted. Now, what I'm trying to say, if it controls your mind, it controls what you say. And when you say them, you may not even know what you said. There are a lot of things we say that people tell us, you say, did I say so? Come on, am I telling lies here? I didn't say it. It's not possible. There's no way I would have said this in my life. You said it because you were being motivated by the devil. Once it taps our anger and emotion, we take off. James 3:6. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire. For it is set on fire by what? Hell itself. Now, do you know Billy Graham's wife? I read a story about that woman. She knew how to fight spiritual battles. She understood it very well. She knew how to control, check out her thought. Billy Graham will be gone for 2 months preaching the gospel, and the children will be feeling it. And they come and say, Mommy, if daddy is gone, daddy is gone. And they say, we see other daddies, but we don't see our own daddy. And the woman will say to them, it's only 2 months and daddy will come back. She would have said to them, yeah, that's how he goes. 2 months, we won't see him. And he's preaching and leaving his own children here. She will reverse all of that and put it in a positive way. He said, I know. He said, only 2 more months, only. And daddy will be what? Back. Did you see that? Because that thing this student was saying, the devil could use it and plant in them hatred for the man. But their mother knew and reversed it. Instead of saying 2 months daddy is gone, he said, no, 2 months daddy will be back. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Instead of saying, yeah, he's gone, no, 2 months, and she'll be right. But she realized, no, I won't let this go on. She will go and turn it around. I said, I know. You know daddy loves you. Just 2 more months. And daddy will be what? Back. And she will put for them daddy's sermons while she's preaching. Complain. Sister, I want you to pray with me. The Lord will help us. My husband goes all the time. Can you join me in prayer? That is a carnal-minded Christian. Doesn't know what he's doing. Spread him evil news. And he takes, when he gets into that area that we're not control, he controls our character. He controls how I treat you, and controls how I treat my wife, controls how I treat my husband, controls how I treat my children, controls my emotional manifestation. Takes it over. Have you not been praying? Ah, you are praying. You are really seriously praying. You realize your mind has left, thinking something else. Come on, church. Your mind, and sometimes you are thinking iniquity. Even in the midst of prayer. I'm not kidding you guys. This is serious. I mean, you are speaking in tongues and praying. Your mind is no more even there. I'm checking out that sister. So she came back from Nigeria. Wow. That woman, she's not even a good sister. In fact, I don't like her, but the way she even talks. But that sister, you know, I heard about how she treats the husband, it's not a good thing. And you are praying. I'm telling people the truth. You know, I asked a question on Thursday. I didn't expand on that. If your soul is not saved, I want you to tell me how you can follow the Holy Spirit. I want you to tell me how you can understand the scripture. This job I'm doing is tough. I'm telling you, people, it's a tough job. Really tough. I didn't want to do it. It's a very tough one. You've seen all of this is. Hebrews 12:15. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Say the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you. Watch out that no poisonous. He wants to poison you. You know, the scripture says that wrong doctrine is cancer, spiritual cancer. It says it's like cancer. It kills like cancer too. He said, poisonous. It's poisonous. No poisonous root of bitterness grows up in you. And number one, does what? Troubles you. And then what's the next one? Corrupting many. You spread it. Spread it. Sister, did you hear? No. Tell me. I hear. Okay. That one is poisoned. That one carry it again. Brother, did you hear? No. I hear. Tell me. Really? He did that? Yeah. Poison. Pam. This one carries it. Pam. Pam. Poisoning many. And troubling all of them. You know, my mentor said something that blessed me. He said, they were discussing as pastors, one pastor. So he said, I wasn't the one. They were telling me about the pastor. But I said, he should have known better than to behave like that. Why should he even behave like that? He said, in the night, the Lord came to me. He said, a bright light shone in my room. And it was the Lord. He said, who gave you right to talk about my servant? He said, I didn't talk about your servant. He said, they told me, he said, anytime you repeat evil word out of your mouth, you are the same like the first speaker. Learn something. Because he said, the issue is that word that is what? Evil. If it comes from your heart, the devil has polluted your mind. Because the Bible says, it is from your heart that what you say comes. He said, if you repeat it, you are the same as the first person who said it. Because the evil word is coming out of your mouth. He said he repented and asked the Lord. He said, I will never do that again. I will never. Never. I don't know how many evil words were spoken, repeated, told people. Look at me here. I don't know how many. We're dealing with him. So we're dealing with him. I don't know how many evil words you repeated. The Bible says, let no evil communication do what? Because it is Satan. It's the seed of Satan. It's a product of his activity. Can I hear amen? You want to keep your life? Keep your mouth. That's what the Bible says. So he that keepeth his mouth, keepeth his what? His life. Don't even hear. I don't want to hear. I told you how I called my village, they had issues and were talking to them. And they said, brother, but they say social. I said, stop. Don't sow that seed. I don't want to hear. I said to them, I said, I don't care what people say. I only care about what God says. I said, God told me to love them, and I will love them. I don't care what they said. I said, that's how the devil has taken all of you captive. You are killing each other. You want me to join? I won't join the parties of the devil. Let he that speaketh, let him speak as oracle of God. Matthew 15:18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed what? Evil thoughts. First of all is the thought. It starts as thought. Evil thoughts will give rise to murders, give rise to adulteries, give rise to fornication, give rise to thefts, give rise to false witnesses, give rise to blasphemies. Those are the things which defile a man. Evil thought. Evil what? Thought. It's from the evil one. I want to read James 1:13 in the message. James 1:13 in the message. Am I communicating at all? You keep your mouth, you keep your life. Simple as that. James 1:13. Don't let anyone under pressure to give in to evil say, God is trying to trip me up. God is impervious to evil. Put evil in no one's way. 14. The temptation to give in to evil comes from where? Us and only us. Why? Because it's from the heart. From my heart. We have no one to blame but the leering, seducing, flare-up of our own lust. The Bible says, before we were saved, we were following diverse lusts, diverse thoughts and imaginations. So we were slaves to them. And then verse 15, message. Lot gets what? Pregnant. And has a baby. What's the name of the baby? Sin. Then sin begins to grow up to adulthood and becomes a killer. He comes to kill. He doesn't have to do much. Take over somebody's heart and then make you do stuff. And the thing becomes habit. It becomes a habit and you become addicted to it. Then the other thing is wrong doctrine that he sows in the lives of people. Do you know how to bear fruit of the Spirit? Jesus told us, but we won't listen. Because there's somebody else teaching what is not the Bible. Jesus told us, I'm the vine. And you are what? He said, you can't bear fruit without me. He's saying, I gave you my new life. So your character is an offshoot of my life in you. It's not what you do by your power. He says, without me, you can't do that. Your character, the fruit that comes, my character is an offshoot of the vine. It flows from me. It's an offshoot of the new life I've given you. And then Peter said that God has given us all things that pertain to Lord, what? Life. That through these promises, we can become partakers of what? He's talking about the new creation. That God promised us new life. And he fulfilled it. Let me even correct us. All the promises of God have been fulfilled. Don't ever put it to tomorrow. That's why we don't get them. Because we're expecting God to come and fulfill it tomorrow. It won't work. That's not faith. That's unbelief. Because they have been fulfilled. They're yay and amen. They have been fulfilled. All of them. I said this to the women 2 years ago. I said, stop putting off these things. They have already been fulfilled. The table has been set. It's all yours. There is no one single promise of God to you that has not been fulfilled. The only thing remaining is the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But everything God promised us, he said everything you need for life and godliness has been given to you through these promises. But we want to, want to be holy, want to be good. We have good intentions. But we don't know that without faith, it's impossible to please God. You've got to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in that life he gave you, in those things he gave you. You have to believe that it is real, it is true, it is yours, it's in you, it's working. You see it work. Amen. So we need to get our heart regenerated. That's how we become disciples. We need to get our souls saved. Let me show you what the scripture says about unsaved soul and the saved soul and how we get this thing working. James 3:13. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living what? An honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. Because you see, faith without works doesn't exist. You can't say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's no corresponding work. It's not true. You don't have to make effort. Because the Holy Spirit says, show me your faith by your work. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in what he has done for you, believe in fulfilled promises, the automatic thing is the thing begins to work. If it's not working, you don't believe. You think you do. That's what we do. All this self, the Bible says a man's ways are right in his eyes, but God's ways. You tell somebody you don't believe, they say, no, Pastor, I believe. Okay, show me the work. He said, if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it. God says, show me. If you believe in me, show me. Because all things are possible to them that believe. But verse 14, though. James 3:14. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, selfish ambition in your heart, which is the opposite of love, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. 15. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. So where is it coming from? Such things are, number one, what? Earthly. Number two, what? Unspiritual. And number three, what? Demonic. See what I'm telling you? See what I'm telling you? Demonic. 16. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every kind of evil work. It's demonic. Look at 17. Let's see the soul that has been freed from the grip of distance. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also what? Peace-loving. Number two, gentle at all times. Gentle at some times. Gentle at all times. And number three, willing to yield to others. What did Jesus do? He yielded his life for us. Willing to yield to others. Willing to yield to others. It is full of what? Mercy. Forgives very easily. And good deeds. It shows no favoritism. Brethren, if we can be sincere with ourselves, if we show favoritism, it's demonic. The Holy Spirit condemns it. He said, that's not Christian. That's not Christ. For God is no respecter of... if it is his spirit, you can't be a respecter of persons. You cannot be. You can't. If God's spirit says, I'm no respecter of persons, and the moment you begin to be a respecter of persons, it's no more his spirit. Don't you get it? Don't you understand that something is taken over? And that thing will start to use you to show favoritism. You think you are doing your friends favor, but what you are doing is planting. You are dividing the body. You started dividing by these ones are the ones I favor. This was done. Jesus said, you are no more walking with me. Hey, church. If you understand me, say amen. You do it in the family too. These are your favorite. They are not your favorite. Because they are not as good as you think. But they are good enough for God. Praise the Lord. Come on, I said praise the Lord. First Corinthians 3:3. Now let's leave that. James 1:20 because of time. James 1 verse 20. For man's anger does not promote the righteousness God wishes and requires. The anger of man does not promote the righteousness that God what? Wishes and requires. So, verse 21, so get rid of all what? Uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness. And in humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word which implanted and rooted in your heart contains the power to save your soul. So if we allow the word of God rooted and planted in our hearts, it controls our soul. All this constant outgrowth of wickedness, outgrowth of sharp words, outgrowth of cutting people down, even our children. My friend, can you sit down? Really? That's an outgrowth of wickedness. That's what the Bible is saying. Yeah, come and take this child away from here. No, he shouldn't be here. But the day you came here to do the baby dedication, you were dancing. You are dancing, I was praying. Pastor, the Lord is good. Now, you shouldn't be here. Get out this child. You know, I've been thinking about the way we bring up our children in our place. They say it works. I'm not sure it works. I beg to disagree. Because I realize it produces wicked adults. But this one we say doesn't work, produces people who are sincere. They will tell you if they are smoking, they'll say that they are smoking. They're sincere. They may not be as much as we want, but that helps you to know where to bring help. They don't live hidden life. They don't live pretending life. They say it as it is. But we hide, cover. Yes, ma. Yes, ma. Mommy, what do you want me to do? They say, this girl is awesome. Hey! Never seen it. But what she's doing, you haven't even done half. You know, a doctor told me of a little girl, her patient, they sent her to Nigeria to train her and take care of her. And she came back and came for a medical exam. And she asked this girl, said, were you sexually active in Nigeria? I said, very much. Did your parents know? No. When you were here, why you say no? Nobody dare touch me. But you were in Nigeria, I said, yeah. And the parents came to the doctor and said, since she went to Nigeria, she's really changed. She's so wonderful now. And the doctor said to them, really? Okay, wonderful. Go. Brother, you know, sometimes we're in denial. I've been talking. Wednesday night I came here, I said, let's pray that God will reveal us to us. I said, we always count ourselves as, let God show you who you are. Have you ever asked God to ask Lord God, when I talk, what do you hear? What do you hear? Do you hear your love? Do you hear your mercy? Do you hear condemnation, evil words? What I want to know what you hear, because me, in my own eyes, I'm okay. But only you weigh the spirit. I said, that way, the Lord will have mercy and show us. And then we prayed on Wednesday. Some people came to me and said, Pastor, that was awesome. He said, God began to show me some things I didn't know about myself. I said, it happened to me. It did happen to me. If somebody told me I was proud, I would never have believed it. There's no way I would have believed it until the Lord said to me, you are a very proud man. I said, really? My friend. He said, you are so proud of your humility, and that's the worst type. Yeah. And he told me, he said, I will knock it out. He said, I don't work with proud people, I resist them. He said, the alabaster and you will not flow until I crack all that glass around it. So it will flow. And he did. And I cried. I wept. I said, Lord, don't let my children pass through this. He said, stop that prayer. He said, leave them with me. They have their routes. I said, it's so painful. He said, yeah. If your right hand will make you to get into trouble, do what? He said, there's no cutting. That's not painful. There's no cutting. But the reward is worth it. Can I hear amen? The reward is what? Worth it. Your fellowship with the Holy Spirit is awesome. He guides you, tells you things to come. What you become somebody sought after. Anywhere you go, people come after you. Because the things you say is so different. So different. They can't have enough of you. No matter what, you just this character of Christ is something unusual. You don't see it and see it anywhere. If you see it, you're like, wow, this is amazing. My late father, we used to talk. We used to sit down and say, what kind of human being is this? That's my father. My own father. I married her. We sit down and say, what kind of human being is he? So I've never seen anything like this. That's my own father. Because he lived the life of Christ. Awesome. Very kind. He was flowing out of him. One day he called me and said, my son, the love of God. He said, the love of God is so deep. I said, my son, you may not understand. Now I see where he was coming from. Now I see it very clearly. Are you getting what I'm saying? Look at Philippians 4:3. Finally, brethren, whatever things are what? True. That's how you get your mind renewed. Throw away all this wickedness that's of Satan. Whatever things are what? True. Whatever things are what? Noble. Whatever things are what? Just. Whatever things are what? Pure. Whatever things are what? It can be true, but not lovely. You don't have to. Don't take it. And let me assure you, nothing will happen. He said, after me, forget about them being after you. No hell will drop unless God what? No. After you, forget it. Just forget what they are doing. Just do what God says. Do. You are in good hands. If he opens a door, no authority will close it. And are you the one to open the door? So you do what he said. Can I hear MM Church? He says, whatever things, let's go through it again. Brethren, tap your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. Brethren, whatever things are number one. So if what you are telling me, how do you know it's true? How do you know it's true? Pastor, you don't know. Somebody told me, I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear because there's no proof it's true. But even if it's true, is it a defiant? You want to poison me? I don't want your poison. You kill me, I don't want. So he says, whatever things are, number one, true. Whatever things are what? What does it mean to be noble, lady? Help me out. Noble. What? Eh? The right thing to do. What does it mean to be noble? Honorable. What are the color of your people? Noble. Don't have it in your dictionary in your village. So, okay, what is it? Noble. No, where do you, where are the Ghanaians here? What is noble? Great? Great. Whatever things are noble, what does it mean? Excellent. So what you want to hear about me is only those things that are what? Why? Because it builds your love for me. It builds your love for me, not hatred. And I may not be excellent, believe me, in the hand of God. The Bible says, let's speak the truth in what? In love, not in hatred. That's not how the Holy Spirit speaks. It's easy to gauge whether the devil is motivating you or the Spirit of God. Am I speaking this in love? No, there is not God. Because God is love. Whatever things are what? Just. Whatever things are what? Pure. Whatever things are lovely. Lovely. Does it mean to be lovely? Will I teach English? What does it mean to be lovely? Caring. And what? Kind. Your wife says, let me report my, I did this one. Yeah. Okay. Report me to God. I did it, yeah. Then your wife says, can we don't have the, do you think I'm gold? Am I the only one? Every time you're telling me you don't have the, Is that what the Bible says? Yeah. Praise the Lord. But that's not what the Bible says. He that has no control over his spirit is like a city, the devil crossing. You throw that word, it's an outcrop of wickedness. The Bible says throw it out so that your soul will be saved. That thing is gripping you in a hold that will destroy you. The enemy is using it. Don't you understand what God is saying? Save yourself from this untoward generation. Their language is different. The Bible says they speak of the world, they don't know us. Whatever things are good, good report. Good what? Good report. Faith gives good report. Yeah, the person may not be doing it right. Billy Graham's wife. He was gone for 2 months. He was supposed to be home. But the children said, Daddy is gone. And she said, I know, but he will be back in 2 months. Reversed it. Praise the Lord. Reversed it. But we, opportunity has come. Yep. Yeah. In fact, that's what I've been saying about that, your daddy. You children have no idea what I'm passing through. This one you see, let me not say anything. The Lord is my witness. God is our judge. All I know is that I'm married to him. God, you are seeing us, so God said, I'm not seeing you. It's the devil I'm seeing in you. It's the devil. What did Jesus say about us? Father, forgive them. Forgive them. What did Stephen say? Don't put this thing what? And then. But we will say, Lord, you see what they are doing to me? Punish them. Say, no. Lord, please, don't put this thing what? That's the Spirit of God. It does not count evil. Don't do it. It does not even demand its own right. Because Jesus gave up his right. Say, Pastor, since I came, I don't serve Holy Communion. Praise the Lord. Must you serve? You don't demand your right. The day God will lift you up, you don't have to tell the pastor. The Lord himself knows how to lift you up. Can I hear amen? Amen. I was in their church. The whole month I was there. I didn't tell anybody I was a pastor. I was going to Sunday school. 2 months. And the church I was pastoring was as big as that their church. But I sat there. If I went to ACF, carrying chair with them, didn't introduce. If anybody heard I was a pastor, I wasn't from. Because it was not necessary. It was not necessary. What was important is serve Jesus. If he's sweeping, do what? When we went to the other church in Newark, I was cleaning toilet. Did anybody saw me? I was cleaning toilet. Sundays, I come with my this and clean toilet before you come. When we went to 170, I'll do the snow. If snow will fall, I'll go there. Me and Kante, we'll clear the snow. After somebody saw me one day passing, he said, so this church has nobody to clear the snow except their pastor. That's how they came to the council. We came and said, no, we have to get somebody to do it. I was doing that and enjoying it. You serve wherever you see opportunity. Forget about title. It's not about title. Jesus is seeing you in that place that you are serving him without seeking for recognition. The day he will recognize you, hey. Woo! You haven't seen God lift up a man. When he did it in Samuel, the Bible said, the whole Israel became afraid of Samuel. God says, anything you say will not touch the ground, I will do it. You honored me. He lifted up Jesus because he made himself of no reputation. He said, at your name, every knee will bow. If that same spirit in you, that's the same route you follow. That same route. All this. Seeking for recognition. If you become recognized, what will God give you again? You got what you want. Get your soul saved. Let the word of God take root there. Let the humility of Jesus take over. Allow God to be God. You are not God. He will take you to where he wants to take you if you let him. Pedro is in Sata. He's in where? South Korea. He didn't know anybody. Made no effort. But I have no time to tell you his testimony is a lot. Anywhere he laid, that place became number one. That's how they recognized him. Doubled the salary. Now he's a director. God will take you there if you let him. Stop all these fights. All this outcrop of wickedness is of Satan. His goal is to kill you. Have you not found that scientists have told us that negative emotions cause cancer? you want to die of cancer? What do you gain? What do they gain being sick? What do you want to expose your life to the wicked spirit called Satan eating you up? What do you gain? Coming to your family, messing up everything. Tell me one gain you get from it. And even your faith is not guaranteed because it's a very dangerous spirit, very diabolical. If God didn't tell me I was pride, the devil had deceived me. I had a wrong impression of me. Let's bow our heads to pray.
You have just listened to another teaching from the Fountain of the Living Word Church family. Please visit http://ftlw.org where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.